what up, yo? This is Ghostface. You're listening to WMFO Medford 91.5. Y'all know what it is. One.
I'm Simon Cowell for PETA. Far be it from me to be critical, but I find it really appalling that this year thousands of dogs will die of heat stroke inside parked cars. There, people thought that that little errand would only take a minute, or it wasn't that hot. But delays happen, and temperatures inside a car quickly rise in summer, even when the window's cracked. Never, ever leave your dog inside a parked car. Your dog idolizes you. In warm weather, keep him safe at home.
For more information, visit PETA.org.
WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. Derek Gary, Lisa Nichols, and Shea Spillane with you until 9 o'clock tonight. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. 855-915-WMFO. Write that number down. Dial it in. Ask yourself why Massachusetts is one of three states. We're going to give you the answer to that question later tonight. Massachusetts
every year
is one of three states.
It's the season, isn't it?
One of three states. And we're going to explain what that means later and why it is the most ridiculous thing and why this year, more than ever, it is the most ridiculous thing that is going on in a world that is currently full of ridiculous things.
Safety first, kids.
There is no shortage of ridiculousness happening around us. What do you think? Should we all go over to CNN and just get on the fake news bandwagon?
Oh, yeah.
We could do fake news, right?
Yeah, you'd look good on the cover of Time.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, on the pretend cover of Time.
There's a difference between putting up the Vanity Man of the Year cover of Time at Mar-a-Lago that you got at the fun fair.
I always thought Derek was a People magazine most beautiful person.
And
I'm thinking Playgirl.
I had a friend that used to vote on that, by the way. I had a friend that used to vote on Sexiest Man Alive, and I nominated myself to her every year.
You know what? In Shay and I's eyes, you are
not once
the sexiest man.
Not
maybe
once did she
only
name
in this
me.
Room,
Lisa, don't lie for me.
In this room.
Not yeah. once.
Yes, you are absolutely the sexiest man in this room. Oh, no, wait. There's a picture of Jerry Ramone over there, so
yeah.
I don't know.
See, I mean, I can't compete with
I
that.
I don't know if that's actually true.
I can't compete with that. Yeah. Joey Ramone is an all-time great. You know, there's no shame. But it would have been nice to just be nominated at least once. You know, if you got a friend who's voting on this, I mean, what good is it?
I mean, I feel like everyone, even if they don't win an award, everyone wants the opportunity to say, it's just an honor to be nominated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And every year, what is it, like, Tom Cruise, Russell Crowe, like some other, like...
You mean the really good-looking people?
Jude
so
Law.
It's like, where's all the ugly guys who were nominated for Sexiest yeah. Man Alive?
Can we just have, like, an average dude be Sexiest
Beauty's
Man Alive
on
just once?
The inside, kids.
I mean...
This is our second week back from our three-week hiatus.
Yeah, we're doing great, right, guys?
And once again, I say... You know, summertime, normally no stories. There's nothing going on ever.
No.
Lucky
Never.
Enough for us
yeah.
and for our listeners, there's plenty going
yeah,
on.
I think that the news cycle started up just for us.
Good God, this year.
Washington is just hot this summer.
This year is just ridiculous and getting stupider by the second. So, you know, let me just say, without any further ado... let's get into the stupid.
Well, in local news, a Massachusetts man was sentenced to life in prison today in the killing of a 2-year-old girl who became known as Baby Doe after her remains washed up on the shore of a Boston Harbor island. Michael McCarthy, age 37, will be eligible for parole after serving 20 years under the sentence imposed by Judge Janet Sanders. Say that three times fast. McCarthy was convicted Monday of second-degree murder in the 2015 killing of Bella Bond, the daughter of his girlfriend at the time. A computer-generated image of Bella was shared by millions on social media as authorities scrambled to identify her. Assistant District Attorney David Deacon asked the judge to set McCarthy's parole at 25 years, which is 10 more than the minimum, but McCarthy's lawyer called that vindictive and asked Sanders to make him eligible for parole after 15 years. The judge came out in the middle of the two recommendations at 20 years. The girl's mother, Rochelle Bond, who was also charged in the case, was the prosecution's star witness. She told the jury she saw McCarthy kill her daughter one night after the girl didn't want to go to bed.
I love how the mother is used as the star witness,
yeah.
The hero,
like,
yeah, of the
totally
story.
Watch my
now,
boyfriend.
Oh, Shay, were you in California when this was going on?
I was in California, and that's what's that tells you how important the story is the fact that I was like, oh man, I've been to that island. Like, we were hearing about it, like, in the LA Times and the LA News.
Essentially, you had a story where a body was found, and for months, all people in the Boston surrounding area, Massachusetts, we only knew her as Baby Doe.
Yeah.
And it was this poor image that you were driving every time on 93, whether or even if you were looking on social media, you
do
were
you
looking
know me?
On.
I was gonna say that's the thing. It was just like all, I remember
sad,
being all over Facebook,
sad
all
eyes
over Twitter,
looking at you and thinking, how could anybody do this? Well, you know, the story starts coming out. They identify who the child is, and then they find out, oh, who the parents are. Well, the mother, both, and the boyfriend are complete drug addicts that barely even know that they're functioning, and then kill the daughter.
Yeah. It's, well, that's what's the craziest thing about this is just the sheer fact that it took as long as it did to identify this little girl, because you'd think, I mean, it kind of speaks to how sad her life was. You would think that somebody would have noticed she was missing.
Yeah.
You know?
That's like, what we said at the time. It's like, how does a little girl like this just disappear
suddenly,
and nobody knows?
Especially once they released her actual pictures. She's this adorable little girl. Mm-hmm. Like, at least people in the neighborhood would have been like, oh, what happened to that? I still see her mother.
Well, I mean, you had a situation where every single day there were different men going into this woman's house, whether it was for prostitution or whatnot, just to get drug money. Both of these people are complete scumbags and should be put away for life. I have no tolerance whatsoever. I mean, if you even deal with murder of anybody, but an innocent child that had no chance of getting out of that life because of the position that it was put into.
Okay, and now let's inject some rationality into the show. And mm-hmm. let me say that both of these people are out of their mind on drugs. There is no
evidence. And so that's evidence. Justification?
There is no evidence that there is intent here on the part of either one of them. I don't disagree with the sentence. I think 20 years is a good amount of time for this guy to spend in jail. I don't believe that the mother had anything at all to do with the murder. Was she involved in trying to cover it up? Yes. Are these people out of their mind on drugs and making bad decisions? Yes. Do we need to consider that as a factor in this? Yes.
Well, and absolutely. Unfortunately, I can't take my personal opinion out of it, where I don't think that drugs are justification for committing a brutal crime.
They're not a justification, but
I
they're
understand
a
what you're saying and trying to put
factor.
They're catalysts.
No, of course.
It's
and
like
in trying to understand, but there were multiple bouts of abuse where you had the state coming in, and that's another fault in Massachusetts.
Where is the state?
Why was this child?
Where were they 6 months before that happened?
But I mean, how many times do we have situations, especially here in Massachusetts, where it is, because, you know, they just change the name every time. One minute it's...
What was it? Because at the time that Bella Bond died, there were a bunch of kids that had died in state care.
Yeah, one was found on the side of the highway. One was...
And then they went and changed the name of the agency, mm-hmm. which is the last refuge of a scoundrel.
And of course, and that's what we were saying on the show.
I was going to say, that's literally like what Whitey Bulger did when he was trying to hide from the FBI.
Yeah.
You were paying taxes to have children killed. Well,
yeah.
That's what it was.
Well, to point to Derek's point, the way I think about it is, could this have potentially happened without drugs? Absolutely. Given the history, as you said, the history of abuse, there was a witness that said that he had witnessed McCarthy locking her in the closet to discipline her. But not everyone who's on drugs has the capacity within them to kill somebody. Like, I've seen people on drugs before, and they're just, like, dopes, like, around. This is like a, it was already there, the drugs sped
but
it up.
Again, this wasn't, situation. And I'm not justifying it and saying this was, if it was a one-time thing, this was a series of events that continually happened.
Oh, I'm not denying
where
that.
You had
and
a
he
mother
does deserve
that
to go
had
to jail
continual
as long
abuse.
As he is.
You
I
had
agree.
A mother that had continual abuse, had random men coming in, drug deals, so on and so on and so on.
This little
we
girl.
We try to get the state government agencies involved. Nothing happens. And then what ultimately happens? A child is dead.
This little girl never should have been left in this situation.
No,
this
of
is
course,
what we
it
have
should have been removed. This is
Child Protective Services for, is to get kids mm-hmm. out of this kind of a situation where mommy's turning tricks for drug money and there's strange guys coming and going all the time. That who knows what's going to happen. But all of that in mind, I am going to draw a line between what happened in this case and somebody who is raping little girls and murdering them so they won't tell.
Mm-hmm.
That is somebody who deserves life without parole.
No, of course. And I understand
never
your
sees
point
the
in
light
that
of day
and
again.
Seeing and saying there is an intent with that. But again, in my opinion, it's
I think it's
a clear cut.
I think true justice would be served if, which what bothers me about this case is the fact that the mother is, because she cooperated and because she got a plea bargain, is going to basically get off with time served.
And yeah. I hate to say it, in some of these cases, they let the mother, or not let the mother, they give a mother a little more of a pass because it's that nurturing, you know, she tried to stop him.
Well,
she was in a situation
the,
where she feared the man.
I was saying, the battered
so, come on.
Well,
defense.
The guy had just killed her kid. I would probably be afraid of him too if I was in
like,
her situation.
Oh, you're capable of killing
and again,
someone. Okay.
Neither of us were in the apartment when any of this happened. So
correct.
We don't know the dynamic between the couple and what was said. What if there were any sort of threats made?
She's maintained that he threatened her, and he denies that, which he's going to do.
Which, who would say, yeah, I totally threatened her.
The one thing that I took away from this, because as the jury deliberations were dragging on and on and on, I'm sitting there and I'm thinking to myself, this guy's not going to get off, is he? This guy's not going to skate. And then when they came back with murder two, because it, I believe that the jury had been charged to consider murder one,
like
murder
it,
two,
yeah.
and manslaughter as
yeah.
possibilities.
Like, was it premeditated? Was it an accident? Was it somewhere in between?
And I looked at what they came back with, and the thought that went through my head was, they really sorted this out. They worked this out. They considered everything. And they basically said, what's the stiffest penalty that we can give that actually fits the circumstances?
And
the murder, too, is
the
answer.
And the evidence presented mm-hmm. as
no,
well.
No, and that's a difficult thing about trying or having a jury and trying somebody and trying to figure out and deliberate, believing the stories that are told where you had Bella Bond's mother saying, you know, I saw her being punched in the stomach by the boyfriend, fall off the bed, her head was swollen, her head was gray. I tried to do CPR. I mean, how much of this is realistic?
I honestly
try to take myself out of it and look at it
objectively.
Yes, but well, it's, again, when you're dealing with somebody that is continually having bad decisions and behaviors.
You're high on opium all the time, too.
I think true justice would be served in this case if she had a court order to have her tubes tied. Just, you can't procreate anymore. I know that that's not legal, but I'm saying in a perfect world, like, that's the big problem here, is that women like this should not be having children.
A lot of people shouldn't have children.
Can we just take the penises away from her? Is there a way to do that?
I don't think that's going to happen.
Oh, all right.
Get rid of the D for her.
Yeah, yeah. You're not, everyone needs the D except you.
Your punishment, chastity belt.
I say, let the punishment fit the crime. Well, in national news, moving on, FBI agents paid visits to at least a dozen employees of Kaspersky Lab, a Russia-based cybersecurity company, yesterday, asking questions about that company's operations as part of a counterintelligence inquiry. Agents visited the homes of the employees at the end of the workday at multiple locations on both the East and West Coasts. There is no indication at this time that the inquiry is part of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation into Russian election meddling and possible collusion, as Kaspersky has allegedly long been of an interest to the U.S. government. Its cybersecurity software is widely used in the United States, and its billionaire owner, Eugene Kaspersky, has close ties to some Russian intelligence figures. Kaspersky Lab paid former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn $11,250 in 2015 for cybersecurity consulting, according to public documents. But that was allegedly not the focus of this FBI questioning.
Strikes me as grandstanding. There are two cybersecurity companies in the world that matter, that basically publish all of the software and come up with all of the threat reports. One of them is McAfee here in the United States. Yeah. The other is Kaspersky Labs, which is based in Russia.
I'm going to say, sorry, folks, I cannot pronounce Russian words properly.
Yeah. It was just based in Russia. It has offices, you know. McAfee has offices all over the world. Kaspersky has offices all over the world. And whenever a major bug comes out, both of these labs came up during WannaCry. Both of these labs came up when Stuxnet was ravaging the centrifuges over in Iraq. These are the best of the best in the world at hacking, viruses, cybersecurity, all that sort of stuff. I have never seen a shred of evidence or a shred of a suggestion from anyone in the online security community to suggest that Kaspersky Lab operates in anything other than the best interests of the public at large and the companies that use its products.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, Kaspersky is essentially a cyber company that sells software to the United States government, to businesses, and because of that bad rap of Russia bad.
That's what I was thinking.
You know, they've tried to and they've sought to raise some sort of profile with corporations and doing sponsorships like public radio.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I ultimately thought when reading this story was just this is all a PR thing.
Because we're grasping at straws. We're the FBI.
Everyone's mad about Russia.
Look at the optics of it.
Am I pronouncing it properly now? Kaspersky? I've only ever
Kaspersky.
Read. Kaspersky.
Yes.
Sorry, I'm trying to pronounce it like a not Russian person. Anyways.
No, but the optics of it are non-existent. It's the American government saying, oh, we gotta look good to the American people because they think Russia is bad because of our mainstream media pushing that narrative constantly in the 24-hour news cycle. So we're going to go to one of the biggest software cyber companies in the world. Just so happens they're in Russia. Just so happens. But it's not part of the investigation. But we're going to mention that Donald Trump's former side guy, they did pay him. Of course they did. And so many times we mention how
Michael Flynn, to be fair, was grabbing money anywhere that he could.
Yeah, of course. Right? That is so strange for American businessmen.
He was opening up lemonade stands.
Yeah, but Michael Flynn was working for the government at the time that he was making all these cash grabs.
Shady deals going on.
Flynn's not a good guy. Putting that out there. Flynn is not a good guy.
What a random amount of money, too. $11,250.
Yeah.
It's a cost for something.
Grand, that's not 100 grand. It's
no, but you have a president that has treated his inner circle as a business, just like as he is with the entire country and his policies. When you have business people inside your inner circle from across the country, they are going to at one point have dealt with another country. Just so happens that Russia is a very large economic hub in the world. So of course there's going to be some sort of dealings. And this is what the FBI is doing. This is the narrative that mainstream media is pushing.
Yeah.
Oh, look here, look here, look here, look here. There are so many connections. We're building this spider web of connections of Donald Trump and business people in Russia. Of course there is. Just like if Hillary Clinton was a businesswoman and had business people around her, it would even look
That's where I got to draw the line, because nobody investigated the Clinton Global Initiative. And
no,
every journalist that looked at that, every journalist that's looked at the Clinton Global Initiative has said,
you don't even need her in office to realize
This is a pay-for-play operation. Like, you give them money and you get access and you get your deals signed. And there are multiple investigations conducted by the news media that found evidence of that.
No, but that's the thing. What I'm trying to say is you wouldn't have people doing investigations, but you would even see more of connections to other parts of the country if you laid out this line from here to here.
But it's, I mean, what are we doing next, FBI? Next week, they're going to go after the Stolichnaya people because they're Russian. And then the week after that, I think they're going to investigate every library in the United States that has Tolstoy and Dostoevsky on the shelves.
Mm-hmm. And then every single building that looks like ice cream cones. That's going to be the next one.
Yeah, we got to go after all the Orthodox churches. The Russians are everywhere.
They're taking over.
Glenn Greenwald wrote a magnificent piece on The Intercept yesterday that I published out to our Facebook page. Big Picture, WMFO. I shared it on my timeline. It was on the front page of The Intercept yesterday. I strongly encourage you to go read it. Because Glenn Greenwald is basically breaking down how all of this Russia stuff is nonsense. These are things that I said on this program like 5-6 weeks ago. And every now and again, I'll read something online and I'll be like, yeah.
Before we hated Russia again.
We covered that. But I know there are people who don't take it seriously coming from me. So go read Glenn Greenwald. Because he's an established, proven journalist. He's the guy that made, Leaker Boy, Edward Snowden. He's the guy that made him famous. He went through all of the security issues with that.
Leaker Boy.
Greenwald. Greenwald is one of the few legitimate, independent journalists still working right now.
No, and that's the thing. And so many of his pieces, and we reference so many of his pieces, because he writes in an unbiased, intelligent perspective that doesn't take what you're hearing every single day, again, from mainstream media. He uses his brain and rationale to say, you know what? That actually has no connection to it. What is this?
Oh, just I didn't like think anyone said, did that anymore.
Is this grandstanding? Is this just putting on a show for the American people to make it seem like the government cares about you?
Yeah.
It's a big runaround, and that is what is going on in Washington. It is a complete runaround of trying to find this information that's not...
It's what's going on with
that we know of.
Three very specific news agencies, namely CNN, the New York Times, and the Washington Post. Excuse me, Amazon, Washington Post, because we have to point out the fact that it's owned by Jeff Bezos every single time, because Jeff Bezos has an axe to grind against the United States government. He is behaving in a monopolistic, anti-competitive fashion, and it is to Jeff Bezos' advantage to destabilize the United States government. The Washington Post is his outlet for doing this. CNN, we'll get into that in a little bit, because I have a feeling that's going to come up during Did You Hear? But there's a lot of noise and shenanigans going on around all this. And at the end of the day, as I've pointed out time and time again, the headline, the real headline, not the clickbait, we've got new secret exclusive news about Russia. The real headline ought to be President Does Job.
And you'll never see it.
Time and time again, I have pointed out these stories that should have had the headline President Does Job, and the New York Times and the Amazon Washington Post and CNN hype them up. And then a week later, 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, here comes the retraction.
Mm-hmm.
Or the story disappears because, nothing there.
But that's the thing. There is no retraction. Its story disappears because there's this new hot scoop that they think that they have.
Because they're getting ratings. That's the only reason this is happening.
Because America's being believing stupid. And unfortunately, with a medium like Facebook that is constantly pushing this. And
this goes beyond Facebook, though.
But if you're looking at the news articles where people are actually using Facebook, how many millions of people here in this country, around the world, are using that? It is being cycled so that those are the top searches for a certain category.
Well, and at the end of the day, I mean, I agree with you, but there's really no such thing as a retraction anymore, because back in the day, it was just the people who routinely read a certain publication, read the New York Times every day, or read the Patriot Ledger every day, or read the Quincy Sun, getting smaller and smaller. But a retraction was like a very purposeful,
we're sorry we got it wrong.
Oops. With how fast news moves now and with how far reaching it is, by the time a retraction comes out, everyone's moved on to the next story and taken the story as fact.
Look at the Rolling Stone retraction. That was barely a retraction. We actually put too much trust in our journalists and not saying we completely screwed up this story, that we ruined people's reputations in lives.
I was saying
and
lives.
The reputation of one of the most elite colleges. But hey, journalism.
RB.
Come on.
22 years ago, when I was a newspaper editor, I believe in the course of my two-year tenure at the three newspapers that I worked at, we ran one retraction, and it was a big deal. People nearly got fired over the fact that we had to run a retraction. And there was one other case where we ran a bit of a correction and an apology because someone had said something ludicrous at a public meeting that I pulled out and highlighted in the article, basically to point out the fact that this person was unreasonable, and said individual did not appreciate the fact that she was being unreasonable being published in giant letters in the newspaper, and apparently everyone had been making fun of her for 2 days at the point that she called and complained bitterly about how we had distorted what she'd said. And it's like, I didn't distort what she said. I took a juicy, irrational quote and threw it in the middle of an article. Which is what you do.
Yeah, that's exactly what press is about.
Yeah, it's exactly what you do, but small town papers, people get upset.
Tell me I can be on record.
But that was twice in 2 years. And it was a weekly publication, so we're talking about 300 newspapers twice. Internet comes along, suddenly everybody is so busy trying to get the story that accuracy gets thrown out the window.
Oh, yeah.
But
it's who can publish it first, regardless of fact.
But what's happening now, and when you're in a breaking news cycle, I get it, okay? Well, there's two shooters. No, it turns out there's one. I get it, all right? You're just trying to pump out the news, pump out the information as fast as you have it. But what we have now is newsrooms that have internalized this idea that it doesn't matter if we get it right. And they're running stories without appropriate fact-checking. They're running stories without appropriate sourcing. Everybody with an axe to grind just calls up the newspaper and says, or CNN, and says, oh my God, you won't believe what's going on today. And it's an above-the-fold story.
Can you include my Twitter handle in the story? That'd be great.
But that's the thing. So many times we read articles now and say, what are actual facts?
Yeah.
People think that because they heard something.
What is the source? Yeah.
You know, through down the line of four people. Oh, that's facts. That's on record.
It's not journalism. And here's the thing. We're not journalists over here. We're a bunch of pundits over here. And every week that we come in here, we do a better job than they're doing.
Fair.
We are actually more accurate and fairer than they are.
I would say half the time reading the news and trying to get my research together for the show, I get very annoyed by exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah.
The accuracy comes from trying to take that step back that we do so many times, look at both sides, give you both angles to it. And the one thing, Derek, that you have taught me so much is that you will never give anybody a way of thinking, or making somebody think a certain way.
Right.
But you're going to give somebody possibly a different way of looking at it. And you have to find, with so many of these news stories, where is the zero point? What went wrong? Where did it go wrong? Mm. That's the only way that you figure these things out. But unfortunately, when we're dealing with happenings in Washington and constantly with the administration, with Donald Trump, it isn't finding out the facts.
I'm still looking for the zero moment on this Russian collusion thing. I haven't been able to find it. I haven't been able to find anything that looks remotely like it.
I mean, I'm liberal and want any excuse to discredit Donald Trump, but even I'm just like,
yeah.
You guys are kind of
exactly what you said, Shay, grasping at straws.
But you know what? There's a bunch of reactionary sheep who bleat every single time CNN publishes another headline, and they come rushing back in, and they throw it all over Facebook and Twitter, and the eyeballs come in, and the ad sales go up.
That's the thing. People consume it. It's our fault, too. And I say our, I'm not including the three of us in consuming this news, but people
consume. That's not news, though. It's not journalism, and it's not news.
This is what some people have been conditioned to think is, air quote, news, which it is not. You are more intelligent than that. Shay is more intelligent than that, and I am. We understand what they are putting out is complete BS.
It's an entertainment product at this point.
Oh, yeah.
That's
absolutely
what it is.
I kind of blame the onset of reality shows' popularity, because it's become the same sort of thing that makes reality shows so great, other than the fact that they're so cheap to produce. It's just like the factor.
Yeah.
You know, the, oh my God, let's make everyone's eyebrows raise and exclamation points everywhere.
Outrage.
And that's why it's become so just frustrating to read. And you know, when I read a story, I'll check like 5 different news sources from every end of the spectrum. And every single one finds some way to, for lack of a better word, objectify this little kernel of information in a way that suits their interests.
I would encourage anybody to at least once tune into the 11th Hour with Brian Williams to see what a joke this guy has become as a newsman. As an entertainer, he's completely in his element.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Give this guy Colbert's show. Give this guy Seth Rogen's spot, or you know, so the next time somebody walks out, put him in there. He's not a newsman anymore. He's a song and dance guy. He's an entertainer. This is everything that my generation was brought up to be cynical about in the broadcast news media. But until the last, I would say, 5 or 6 years, we didn't really see it materialize, because there were still people at the top of these organizations that took the job seriously. Mm-hmm. Well, guess
who
what?
Who were there when it was at
they
it?
They're gone.
They respected the art of journalism. Yeah. And you can see it more and more with the attitudes of the American people when people are polled and ask how much confidence do they have in the mainstream media. And what, every year it drops?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's actually, it just hit a new low in the most recent Gallup poll.
The presidential approval ratings are low?
Yeah.
Look at the approval ratings of your mainstream media, your CNN, your MSNBC, your ABC News, your NBC News. It's deplorable.
Tell them to tune into The Big Picture, and we'll reignite their faith in broadcast media. In world news, Washington sent a strong warning to Syrian President Bashar al-Assad yesterday, accusing his regime of plotting a new chemical weapons attack. Captain Jeff Davis, speaking for the Pentagon, said U.S. intelligence had evidence that a plane at Syria's Shariat airfield was seen in an area near known chemical stockpiles, raising concern that Syria was preparing for an attack. Shariat airfield was struck with U.S. cruise missiles in April in the aftermath of Syria's last chemical attack on rebel positions. The White House warned that Syria, quote, would pay a heavy price, end quote, if it goes forward with a new chemical attack, raising the possibility of more direct U.S. military action in the ongoing Syrian civil war.
All right, so I'm going to put this into perspective, where we had so many times during the Obama administration, him drawing, and I mention this all the time, the red line in the sand with Bashar al-Assad, and saying, if you do this again, use Syria as sarin gas, so on. How many times did he continue to use it, and we sat there and did nothing? This is, and regardless of what people saw, President Trump is speaking on Monday night, as a lot of people thought it was, again, that idea of grandstanding to kind of cover up what is going on with the Obamacare repeal. Other people thought it was a pretext to bring in thousands of troops, possibly to Syria. I think it is going to be taken far more seriously than we have seen in prior years in the Obama administration.
Well, the problem that you have...
That's reality.
The problem you have is that this guy is still backed by Russia.
Rebel forces.
No, Assad is still backed by Russia. So we can't do anything proactively. Because if we launch a preemptive strike, Russia's going to be all over us. And I would say
in a time where Russia is not...
The tensions with Russia right now are probably a lot higher than anybody would like them to be.
Now, do you think that...
So we got to wait for this.
Positioning himself with this and understanding that he can push the line a little bit more.
I think this guy doesn't get it, and we should be sticking a Tomahawk missile in his rectum, okay? That's how I think we should be dealing with Bashar al-Assad, because this nonsense has been going on for 5 years now.
Well, it is. I do agree with what Lisa's saying, though, is that I think that, unfortunately, I mean, it's just like London during World War II. It got kind of normal just to have bombs dropping. And, you know, like, it, that's kind of what it's become. Like, we hear chemical warfare and, like, sarin gas, and we've almost become numb to it. And it's like he knows that. Because it's like, reality. Okay, like, then I can push this envelope a little further. I can push this envelope a little further. Because we've become, it's become such a part of our everyday life.
But he also got away with it continually under the Obama administration. And apparently, the first round of Tomahawk missiles we sent onto his airfield did not convince al-Assad that this is not the way you're going to operate anymore.
Well, that's the thing. Early in April, we had suspicious activity happening on one of the air bases in Syria. So we send a few missiles over there. It's like a slap on the wrist. Don't do that. We're watching you.
I love that a few missiles are a slap on the wrist.
But it's, but that's what it was.
It really is.
How much damage was created where that was enough of an impact for him to stop. This is one of those leaders that runs on a completely different mindset. It's Kim Jong-un is a whole nother category.
Yeah.
But it is this is my land. I'm going to do whatever I want with it. And I'm going to do to my people whatever I want. And shame on anybody that tries to stop that, because we're not going to... And,
Kim Jong-un,
he's you don't know me.
Kim Jong-un, I can at least defend as being in an existential battle with the military for control of that country.
Mm-hmm.
Bashar al-Assad just likes to...
He's just a crazy person.
...murder people who disagree with his government. That's what he's been doing. That's where the civil war came from.
He's like Stalin style.
Yeah. There was no need for the Syrian civil war. He could have backed down. But no, he decided to shoot his own people and then start gassing his own people and then let ISIS kill his people.
We like to
and then
out,
I'll go in and kill ISIS.
We like to put a lot of stupid on this show. And that's essentially what's going on with Russia, in that they still deny that their Syrian ally has no sarin gas.
They have
that,
to.
That
they,
back in 2013, the sarin attack that killed, 1,000 civilians, that actually didn't happen. So a major strike from us could lead to a clash with Moscow. I mean, that's reality of it. And it only gives Assad a heavy hand of support when dealing with the United States.
Well, and it's one of those things where it's a...
What does Russia have to gain?
Can I say the D word on the radio? I forget.
Which...
The one that ends with an MN.
Oh, yeah. You can say, yeah.
It's a damned if you do, damned if you don't kind of situation. Because... So we don't want to mess up our relationship with Russia even further. But at the same time, it's downright irresponsible to just turn a blind eye to this, because we don't want to mess up things with Russia.
But the thing is, but Russia too is over barrel on this thing, because Russia does not, Vladimir Putin does not want to be seen supporting the use of chemical weapons in warfare.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want that, because that makes Russia look bad to the entire global community. At the same time, you signed a treaty with this clown.
And they're right there too.
And if you just walk away, all of your other treaty partners are going to sit there and say, well, what's a Russian treaty worth?
What kind of friendship can we really have if you're just going to walk away from one of your friends?
You got to defend the guy. And you've at least publicly got to defend the guy. Behind the scenes, talking to the United States, go ahead, throw some missiles at the guy. Mm-hmm. Try and make this stop, because the Russians
don't
want this.
Give a little wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Well, the Russians don't want this any more than we do.
You know, yet not to respond to Syria would essentially give Assad that green light to keep using the sarin gas and continually killing thousands more civilians. Because we understand that Assad is down on troops. And sarin gas, essentially what it does is pushes all the civilians into Turkey. Hey, didn't that sound familiar?
Yeah.
What happened when there were sarin gases and people were pushed out of Syria into Turkey? Where'd they go? Oh, yeah, Europe. The European Union.
Yeah, because Turkey didn't want them.
And how many millions of people, hundreds of thousands of people died, but millions of people had an influx into the European Union. And now we're at the point where so many millions of people have already come into the European Union that countries like, thank you, Germany.
To be fair.
France, England, they're like, no.
To be fair. Turkey was busy selling discount ISIS oil on the global market at that point in time. They didn't have time to deal with the refugees and sell the illegally obtained oil at the same time.
Turkey's very good for being just a cross path for all of those underground gas lines that were running through into Syria out of Iraq, but also just a cross point for all the millions of migrants that crossed over and got pushed out or shot on the beach.
So when the Syrians came over, the Turks said, okay, go stand over there on the beach and wait for the guy with the boat. The guy with the boat will be by. He'll get you eventually.
Any minute now.
Yeah.
It's awful. I mean, it just continues. Today in sports news, we learn the latest scandals in gymnastics are putting a focus on the culture. USA Gymnastics needs a, quote, complete cultural change after not doing enough to educate its staff, members, athletes, and protecting children from sexual abuse and failing to ensure the safeguards were being followed, according to a critical review as a former federal prosecutor. The safety and well-being of the governing body's athletes, not world and Olympic medals, must be the focus. Deborah Daniels said that her 100-page report, which was released to the public on Tuesday, who is also a member of the USA Gymnastics, and gymnastics should be revoking policies that are not followed. The U.S. Gymnastics Board was unanimous in accepting the 70 recommendations Daniels made, Chairman Paul Perilla said on Monday night. USA Gymnastics hired former federal prosecutor last fall to review its practices and policies following the criticism of handling the sexual abuse complaints, including a case involving a longtime team physician that resulted in federal charges. It had been reported that more than 360 cases in which gymnasts have accused coaches of sexual transgressions over 20 years, at least 96 gymnasts of alleged sexual abuse by Larry Nassar, who was a national team physician from 1996 to 2015. So the story continues. I mean, alone, just this one man is responsible for sexual abuse complaints from 96 girls.
If they hadn't found all that child pornography on his computer,
it would still continue.
I can see an avenue where that guy might have skated.
Of course.
Okay. Because he concealed it as treatments for these girls. I haven't heard any of these girls coming forward and saying, oh yeah, like I was having sex with them.
And if you hear a lot of the just instances of how they describe the situation, being a former gymnast, I understand it's constant strain on your body. Even in college, every day you got treatment for it, whether it be stimulation, whether it be ice baths. And gymnasts are wearing very little clothes, so it's not like you're trying to maneuver around clothing. Yeah. When you're laying down on a bed and your coach, who you have trust in, or your the medical coach, just like you have trust in your coach,
your doctor,
he is going to do the best thing to make you feel good.
Yeah.
You think. Unfortunately, it was not feel good.
In this guy's case, it involved, making some adjustments by reaching inside.
I was saying, like, making himself feel quite good.
No, in a lot of these cases, they say it started, at the waist and moved down into the back to butt.
That's some of the other actual, pedophiles that were involved in this. You were winning the girls' trust and then taking sexual advantage of them. So there's that. There's what this trainer was doing. There's a lot of shenanigans going on here.
Well, and that's the thing. The thing about gymnastics, I mean, it's true of any sport where from a young age the athlete is, working towards being a professional, where they do develop, in many cases, they're closer to their coach than they are to their parents.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But in gymnastics particularly, typically starts younger than most, typically small and, for lack of a less creepy word, taut.
No, that's reality. I mean, you're sexual position. You are in straddles. You are in splits. You are doing these things, bouncing around. And I don't mean that in any bad
sexual way, but
that's a reality of it. So when you have male coaches, and I'm not saying all male coaches, but being in that atmosphere, just as you pointed out, it was about winning, and that's it.
It's almost breeding ground for that sort of behavior, particularly, just as you just said, where the coaches, just as the athletes, are focused on winning. They're focused on doing the best.
But here's the thing. This is the priest sexual abuse moment for U.S. gymnastics, right?
This is true.
That's the
mean,
scale that we're on.
Gymnastics has always been super creepy. The
priest sexual abuse,
religion.
The Catholic abuse scandal happened around the year 2000. So 17 years later, why hasn't U.S. gymnastics gotten its act together?
Mm-hmm. Figured out how to not have that be
17
case.
Years later, why are we suddenly discovering that there's a pedo problem on the women's gymnastics team? This should have been ironed out more than a decade ago.
Because, again, in this culture, it is all about winning. And as Shay
pointed
out,
how does sexually abusing a girl help her win?
You are brainwashed to believe that these are the right things to get you to win. Just like, but these are predators. You're dealing with predators that try to convince their victim, just like a priest with.
I understand it, but we're not operating in the vacuum of the 90s or the 80s or the 70s anymore. Everybody knows what sexual abuse is. Mm-hmm. All of these little girls have been brought up to say, so-and-so touched my no-no place. Stranger danger, stranger danger.
But yes, they're not a stranger. But they're an important...
This is a
figure in their life.
How many cases of family sexual abuse do you still have today? How many...
Exactly.
But that's a different situation, because if I tell on my dad, I don't have a place to live anymore, and daddy's going to jail, and the family's going broke.
You don't have the coach that's led you to all these victories anymore.
A coach is everything. Your doctor is everything, and it is convincing, it is great.
We're not saying it's okay. We're just saying the psychology behind it unfortunately makes sense.
These cases were reported. Okay.
But
parents reported these cases, and USA Gymnastics and overseers at different levels within the organization did nothing about it.
No, and that's the thing. There's two different situations that we're dealing with here.
We're in the 2000s. We're not talking about the 80s anymore.
That we're lucky that we have these numbers so small, because I know probably for a fact that it is much larger. And being in this, I've seen it. I've seen creepy touch it, like a lot of uncomfortable feel.
You're going to see it at Tavern at the End of the World later tonight.
I'm going to stretch out your quad for you.
It's accepted.
But I mean, creepy touch and radio is just one of those things that's going to exist.
Yeah, just ask Derek and his two co-hosts.
I'm going to use the thing when you have a boss that tells you, just do this. Because it will get you here. It will make you...
You blindly just do that.
And unfortunately, when you have a young mind that doesn't... Yes, you can understand
and that trust the
issues
the adults
of stranger
that's saying
danger and whatnot. So that's one case that we have here. The other case that's the major problem is the fact that, just as you stated, we have USA Gymnastics. It has been proven, it is written down in these case files, that there have been criminal complaints.
Yeah.
And they are I take that back. Not criminal complaints. Complaints to the owners, to the presidents. Because these are big corporations. It's not like small-time gym here. I mean, look at the Crowleys in Texas, who have basically trained every single Olympic gymnast since, 1986?
But nobody's necessarily saying that Bella and Carol were specifically involved in this.
Because there are big houses all over the country, and just like here in the Northeast, or even North Shore, there were three big gyms that you went to, and you didn't even think about competing in gymnastics when I was younger if you didn't go to one of them. And there were many times. Side rooms, one-on-one training. Specifically, did I see anything? No. Did anything happen to me? Lucky enough, no.
They never say you're the room with the clown in it? Is there a room with a clown in it? There always seems to be a clown involved in this.
I just
somewhere.
Wasn't good enough.
But here's the thing.
Just ask John Wayne Gacy.
What we learned in the late 90s with the Catholic sexual abuse scandal, and I hate to keep harping on it, because at the time, there was this attitude going around of, why are there all these pedos in the Catholic Church? What is it about pedophiles and becoming a priest that's a thing? And I said repeatedly, this isn't limited to the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. They just got caught. Yeah. You are going to find this in every single profession where adults have relationships and interactions with children. And sure enough, USA Gymnastics, the educational profession, don't get me started on how much is going on over there. But what should have happened, and what we were told happened after the Catholic sex abuse scandal...
Nope, they're all gone.
...was that there's all these new laws in place. There's all these new rules in place that you're going to go to jail if somebody tells you about sexual abuse and you don't report it. So who's gone to jail? Three guys at the University of Pennsylvania who didn't dime out Jerry Sandusky. Mm-hmm. Nobody from USA Gymnastics, mm-hmm. where dozens of girls were abused systematically over the course of decades. When are those people going to start going to jail? Well, when are there going to be real penalties? Are we going to forgive them because we won a couple of gold medals?
Well, and unfortunately, just like with the scandal with the Catholic priests, which I believe is a large in part why maybe a lot of this hasn't been reported, is that if one's guilty, they're all guilty. I remember when that broke, I was raised Catholic. I'm like Catholic now, but I'm still very close to the priest I had growing up. And it really kind of messed up his life when all of that happened, because I was an altar server with him. He was not one of those priests, but once
you also weren't a hot little girl, so
yeah, that's true. I had a unibrow and a bowl cut, but neither here nor there. But that's the thing, is once one person gets called out for it, suddenly everyone in that profession is a target, is a guilty until proven innocent.
Yeah,
and I think perhaps that lends itself to why this wasn't reported, which is
no, it's exactly what you just said, Derek, where it's winning gold medals. Trump's
consequences. I want mm-hmm. consequences.
Gold's
for
not
this.
Even that pretty.
So that the next organ.
Well, if you got one in Rio, it's actually falling apart.
Yeah,
so, but it's only 3% gold.
Actually, there's chocolate inside.
No, they but just I want melts. Consequences, so that the next time there isn't a next time. So that organizations are like, you know, one of the best things
you need
that
to
ever,
be vigilant on it.
Yeah, like we're vetting everyone
that ever happened in this country. Even though it was one of the worst things that happened in this country, was the whole scandal involving savings and loan industry and the accountants cooking the books in the late 1990s. Because as a result of that, they passed laws that basically say, if you're an accountant and you sign off on illegal numbers, you're going to jail. And accountants, you can still find bad guys who are willing to play fast and loose, but they're harder to find. Mm-hmm. Because most accountants do not want to go to jail. That is the kind of rule that we need on the books, which is, hey, you know what? 15 years later, USA Gymnastics, you haven't cleaned up your act. We want the names of everybody who got one of these reports, and they're all going to prison for life. Because if you do that, you're going to get every other organization in this country to take that seriously and say, okay, hang on a second. We're not shifting these guys around anymore. We're taking these reports seriously, and we're getting them out of our systems.
Hopefully it will change. Well, today in food news, we learn milk will continue to do a body good. IBM Research and Cornell University are collaborating on a genetic sequencing dairy project to help reduce the chances that global milk supply is impacted by safety breaches. With the onset of this dairy project, Cornell University has become the newest academic institution to join the consortium of sequencing the food supply chain, a food safety initiative that includes IBM Research, Mars Incorporated, and Bio-Rad Laboratories, Inc. The opportunity for improving food safety is large. The U.S. Department of Agriculture estimates that Americans consume more than 600 pounds of milk-based product per person per year. Fresh food, such as meat, dairy, and produce, represent a great risk to food safety incidents. Specifically, raw milk is a main ingredient used in pasteurized milk for drinking, infant formula, cheese, yogurt, and other common grocery items. Normally, raw milk samples are tested for a specific group of bacteria. However, the consortium for sequencing the supply food chain is using the community of microbes and bacteria known as microbiome to categorize the food samples at an unprecedented resolution. So we now have this new technology coming out that hopefully with the research of a tech company and a university that is on the forefront of food safety to help this. Because if anybody, and I'm sure it will come up in Did You Hear, every week, and how many times do we have
recall? I don't have any this week, but can I just tell you that every lactose intolerant listener that we have just tuned out? They're like, oh, they're talking about milk again. Well, could you please think of the audience?
This obviously doesn't apply to
you. Know, and reading through the initial study of this, it's somewhat alarming how many cases each year coming just out of the United States, because, for a lack of a better term, we have somewhat loose standards.
Yeah. There are words I could use to describe them, but the FCC will fine me.
Yeah, a little loose with the regulations here in the United States. With
we
the
don't
FCA.
Have enough people to enforce the regulations. Well, then go get the people.
Yeah, so when you have a company that is continually recalling or having any incidents of Listeria, E. coli, so on and so on, yeah, and people are dying.
All those
actually, when people start dying, yeah, then we have a problem. But when people just get a little sick, because, you know, neurovirus is good for the belly.
Oh, this won't flush everything out. This won't kill you.
It's like a cleanse, but cheaper.
It'll just make you sick for a couple of weeks. Take these antibiotics. Great. Thank you. Wonderful, wonderful times. In technology news, Google incurred a record $2.7 billion fine on Tuesday from European antitrust officials. In announcing the fine, EU antitrust chief regulator Margrethe Vestager cited Google's massive share of shopping-related searches and accused the company of manipulating its search results to favor Google products over competitors. Google continues to claim that Amazon and eBay are its competitors and that this should shield them from antitrust prosecution. Google now has 90 days to appeal or pay up. If it fails to do so, the European Union will fine Alphabet, the parent company of Google, 5% of its average daily global revenue.
So,
here's what I love about Google's defense, because this is a defense that works in the United States, where members of the U.S. Congress and members of U.S. government agencies sit there and they say, "What is internet? How internet work?" And so Google sits there and they say, "Oh, Amazon and eBay are our competitors, and these idiots in Washington, most of whom took money from Google in the first place to get their jobs, sit there and lap it up." And they say, "Okay, yeah, whatever, Google,
yeah,
you have competitors,
you're so right.
Fine.
I hate revolving door syndrome.
The folks in Europe actually get it. The folks in Europe actually understand what's going on here. And they look at this argument, and they're like, that's nonsense, okay? Amazon is a retail site. eBay is a retail site. Google, you are not a retail site. Mm-hmm. You make advertising money off of this.
Yes. And that's what
and
it is.
You've and shut out everybody actual, else.
Yeah, and to be an actual search engine, which is what Google at its conception is, you need to search everything.
Exactly. That's what it is. And when you search products online, Google's shopping service is this thing, of course, that spits out all these, you know, results at the top of the page. But Google is making, as Derek just pointed out, cash money from these companies, yeah, whose products are featured. So what is that? Basically advertising. And the EU has always been on the forefront of
saying, hey dude, that not cool.
Standards with the internet and they're saying you're essentially giving a leg up on prominently promoting certain products.
Well, and the EU has a big chip on its shoulder because at the time that they were trying to balance their budgets and create a common currency, the United States was launching the next generation of commerce. So the European Union doesn't have any major players in any of these spaces. Facebook is an American company. Google is an American company. Yahoo is an American company. Amazon is an American company. eBay is an American company. PayPal is an American company. I could go on. So the European Union has already ticked off that they missed the boat.
Well, what's nice, though, is that also allows them to view all of this entirely objectively.
Yes.
Because they have no irons in this fire. They are literally using these products without anyone in their crew even having it possible to benefit.
And they're basically saying, hey, American company, you can't come over here and flaunt our laws. Mm-hmm. We don't like that you exist in the first place. We don't like that you have all of this market share. And if you're going to come over here and behave illegally, we're going to make you pay for it.
Well, and the irony, too, is that Google, comparatively, only recently started selling you stuff. Amazon and eBay have been doing it for maybe a decade longer, yeah, which in considering what the internet in its current capacity came out, what, 1995?
That's
a decade is a
Google
really
is
long time.
Realizing that they can do it. And Derek, you know, being specifically in marketing and online marketing, how important the positioning on a Google search is for your company.
There was something very important that happened.
Yeah, there are people that pay to come up first.
There was something very important that happened with Google a couple of years ago that was a clear signal that they knew these kinds of actions were coming and they knew that they were going to lose. And the thing that happened was they created Alphabet, which is the parent company of Google. The reason that you create that parent company is so that when the European shows up and sues Google into oblivion and finds and regulates them into oblivion, you can just take that one little piece and spin it off and say goodbye to it, and Alphabet still exists. So they know. Smart people in the room over there know they're in the wrong. So every European Union victory against Google should be celebrated.
WMFO Medford.
Are we supposed to say that?
At the five of the hour.
I think it makes the FCC happy when we say
that. It does make the FCC. Hi, FCC, we love you. Don't mind us.